Tonight's talk is one of four that we'll be doing at the evening services, starting tonight. The series is The Four Corners of Faith. Tonight is on glory to God, and the others will be fellowship, discipleship, and evangelism. The main passage we'll be using tonight as a basis for glory to God will be the one that was read earlier from Matthew chapter 5. Now, because this is more of a topical talk, I'll be referencing a few different passages from the Bible to try and give a more complete picture. So what does it mean to give glory to God? Why do we need to give glory to God? If God is everywhere, if God created the universe, if God sees everything, surely he doesn't need the little that we can give him. What can we do that can affect a God that big? Hopefully we'll see tonight what the Bible says, that we can give glory to God, that it is worthwhile, and that it's something we can enjoy. One thing we need to be careful of, though, is thinking that God needs us in some way for him to be complete, that he needs us, that somehow our giving glory to God is necessary for his survival. That's an easy thing to believe. Most of what we see in here tells us that life is about getting what we want, that it's all about us. When we do something good, we expect praise and to be rewarded with something. We'd like people to say, "Great job. You've done really well." We want recognition for what we've done. And when we get sick, we want others to feel sorry for us, to give us attention, to look after us. When it's our birthday, we want people to focus on us and bring us presents. And there are times when we do this to other people, when we praise them for the wonderful things they've done, when we focus on them and not what God has done through them. You can see the effect that Justin Bieber had on those girls, their reaction to someone they practically worship, what they were willing to do to get his attention. But without his fans, Justin Bieber wouldn't be the man he is today. Now, hopefully none of us here has Bieber fever, but how often do we idolize people or even ourselves? Maybe not quite that badly, but in lots of small ways instead. Maybe it's the latest reality TV show, or an actor who's rocketed to fame in a new movie, or maybe it is Justin Bieber. God can't be first if we're distracted by all these other things. We can't give glory to God if we're obsessed by the latest fad and giving glory to that instead, or if we're trying to bring glory on ourselves. All of this, this me spotlight, this focus on ourselves, might lead us to think that giving glory to God is somehow about us too, that we could get something out of it. But this is a long way from the truth. Giving glory to God is not about us, it's all about God. Giving glory to God is all about God. So if God doesn't need us to give him glory, why do we need it? Why do we do it? Why does Jesus say, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven"? Another translation says, "Glory, glorify your Father." To give glory to God. Why does God need to be praised? Why does he need to be glorified? One of the reasons we do it is because Jesus told us to in this passage. And as Christians, we're meant to do what Jesus says. And by doing good works, by letting our faith in Jesus shine before others, we can bring glory to God. That men and women, the people around us, will see the things we're doing in Jesus' name and give glory to God, the reason for it all. Now, because God is great, the creator of everything, he deserves all the glory we can give him. Because God is great, because he's the creator of everything, he deserves all the glory we can give him. Now, I'm going to give you a very, very short history lesson, so stay with me for the next couple of minutes. About 450 years ago, there was a document written by a group of guys, and it's called the Westminster Confession of Faith. It basically summarizes what the Bible teaches about things, like God, sin, the Ten Commandments. Now, they also did up a list of questions and answers called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. These questions and answers do a similar thing. They're basically about various truths that the Bible teaches and what we believe as Christians. Things that better help us to understand God. Now, the first question from the Shorter Catechism is the only one I want to focus on today, and it asks this. What is the chief end of man? Basically, this question is asking, what is our purpose? What is our aim in life? As people, as human beings, what's the goal of our lives? What is our chief end? It's an important question to ask. A lot of people think that the goal of life is to get a job, to get married and have children, to settle down and get by. And some of these things are good things when they're done for God. But they don't give us a reason for why we were put here on earth. The reason we were created. That's what this question is asking. What is the chief end of man? The answer summarized by the Shorter Catechism is this. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So our chief end, the purpose of our life, is to bring glory to God, to glorify Him and enjoy Him, to praise and worship God, to take enjoyment from our relationship with God. I love how the answer links us bringing glory to God and enjoying Him together as one. Glorifying God is a joy. It's something we can take pleasure in. We shouldn't be thinking of it as a burden or as a chore or one of those mundane tasks that we just have to do because we're told to. And there's a number of passages in the Bible that this answer is drawn from. 1 Corinthians verse 31 of chapter 10 says this, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." It's all of life. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And verse 36 of Romans 11, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." And Psalm 16 shows us the joy that comes from knowing God, how God can be enjoyed. From verse 5, "Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the grave. Nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand." The author of this psalm is praising God, bringing glory to God, and is able to enjoy Him when he does that. His enjoyment comes from this. Now, it's easy for me to thank God, to praise Him when things go well. But do I glorify God when things go wrong? Do I give glory to God when I lose control? Not as much as I should. And do our lives reflect an attitude that praises God, gives glory to God, even when we're sick, or when we fail an exam, or when something even worse happens? There's a song by Sovereign Grace Music called "As Long As You Are Glorified," and I'm just going to read out the first verse and the chorus. "Shall I take from Your hand Your blessings, yet not welcome any pain? Shall I thank You for days of sunshine, yet grumble in days of rain? Shall I love You in times of plenty, then leave You in days of drought? Shall I trust when I reap a harvest, though when winter winds blow, then doubt? Oh, let Your will be done in me, in Your love I will abide. Oh, I long for nothing else as long as You are glorified." This is the sort of thing that we all should be praying constantly, that the glory goes to God, and that we continue giving glory to God despite what might happen to us. There's so many times when it's easy to forget about what God has done for us, to forget that He's in control, and then in those times to grumble and complain. Instead, we should be praising God through the sickness, through the bad times, and in so doing bring glory to God. And giving glory to God is not a list of things that we can just tick off a list. It goes deeper than that and reflects the direction of our heart. How we approach singing songs in church. How we pray. and how we treat people who don't know Jesus. All of these affect how we give glory to God. And it's not about how close we can get to doing the wrong thing before we're not giving glory to God. It's about our whole lives. Our hearts and our minds need to be entirely focused on giving glory to God. This is our purpose. Everything that we do needs to be done for His glory. Our natural direction, because of the way we are, is to please ourselves. It's to do just what we can get away with. It's easy for us to be selfish, and some of us are less so than others. And the way out of this is not a list of things to do to be unselfish or selfless. We bring glory to God by doing what pleases God. Now, there might not be a list of tasks you can tick off, but there are some things we can do to help us achieve this, to point us in the right direction. I've got 6 of them, and maybe you can come up with some more. First of all, we need to be always trusting in Jesus. This is the thing that gives us salvation from our sin. This is the joy that we can have by knowing God. And it's not a one-time thing when we become Christians, when we committed our lives to Jesus. We need to be constantly turning from our sin and trusting in Jesus for our salvation. Because of our sin, we need to be relying on God's work, God's help to free us from it. God sent Jesus so that we can be freed from our sin and selfishness. And secondly, we need to be praying. We need to be talking to God, praising Him for who He is and how He rescued us. A great way of doing that is praying a psalm. Go through the psalms and read each one as a prayer, and then put it down in your own words. There's great examples there of how to talk to God. So pray often. The communication we have with God is a tremendous privilege. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Number 3, we also need to be reading the Bible regularly, looking into God's Word and applying it to our lives. It can be difficult to do this at times, but there's ways of making it easier. Find a Bible reading plan and read something every day, or read a little bit at a time and meditate on it, or get together with someone else and read the Bible with them. Together you might be able to come up with some answers that you might not have been able to on your own. The fourth point, we should be meeting together with other Christians. Chapter 10 of Hebrews says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." A great way of being encouraged and finding ways to bring glory to God is by meeting with other Christians regularly, at church, at Bible study, and more often if you're able to. Number 5, we can help to teach younger Christians what following Jesus is all about. I'm sure most of us could find someone a little younger to help through the Bible and to answer questions, to be there, to teach and to disciple. And the 6th one is looking for ways to tell others about Jesus, to evangelize. One of the great opportunities God has given us as Christians is being able to tell others about Jesus, to tell them the great news of what Jesus did on the cross, how He died as a sacrifice for our sin. Then they too might be able to give glory to God. So just to summarize those things, we should be trusting in Jesus, praying, reading our Bibles, meeting with other Christians, teaching younger Christians through discipleship, and telling others about Jesus, evangelizing. All of these take the focus off us and place it on God. And by doing these things, we can better know how to please God and how to give glory to God. Now, I have one smaller step that you could take this week to help in this. Choose a psalm that particularly praises God or tells you about the great things He's done. Then just try and memorize a verse a day. Psalm 100 is a fantastic one to start with. It's only 5 verses long, and it should get you going. Psalm 100. But if you can't memorize a verse a day, then try a verse every 2 days. And then when you pray, go over the psalm in your head and meditate on God's glory, His goodness, and give praise to Him. Give glory to God instead of asking for things that you might need. Let me just close with Psalm 111 as a prayer. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. In the council of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Amen.